This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable, but never boring, Sean Jackson.
Hello, everyone. It is your host, Sean Jackson, and I'm joined, as always, by the, in motion, Micah Gadea. Micah, how are you?
I am happy today. How are you?
Oh, I am happy, 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 and I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me why.
We have hit a nerve with our audience, Micah, through this series.
Yes, we have.
I mean, the response to our series on publishing to LinkedIn has been phenomenal.
Yep.
I'm just blown away. If you
and they're participating in the challenge, and it's so good to see all their work out there.
You know, and I thought our last episode where we talked about a lot of the structural mechanics of how the LinkedIn algorithm works to take those posts and push them up there, I thought that was huge. If you haven't listened to part two of our episode, by all means, you know, hit pause and go back and find that thing.
Definitely, but with hierarchy.
Yeah, good. That's a good one there, Micah. I wasn't brave enough to say it. But you know what really is amazing, again, has been that response from our audience. You know, they took the challenge that you put in the first episode about publishing just something in there. Our group has lit up on fire with people publishing, right? I mean, you got Neil in there who did a great post, Balky who did a great one, Scott. I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, Terry, by the way, Terry, great job. Keep going. You got it. I mean, everybody who's been participating in this challenge, Micah, I've been blown away.
Yeah, and I actually added a promotion from Wessel. Thank you, Wessel, for that, for some of our international writers. That very helpful for sentence structure. So you can find that when you join us in our promotions area.
Yeah. And you know what? Speaking of international, George, welcome. Sorry it took so long to get
George.
In the group.
He made it.
He made it finally. Hey, boy, as soon as he got in there, he was all over that discussion area.
That was awesome. Welcome, George. We're glad you're here. We're glad you worked so hard to get here.
Exactly. Appreciate the persistence.
Can I tell them how to get on here, Sean, so they can join us?
Yes. By all means.
Excellent. If you're in the continental United States, there's two ways to do it. If you're in the continental United States, you're going to pull out your mobile device and you're going to text 41411 and you're going to use the keyword MyLink. And that's MYLINK with no space. Again, that's texting 41411. MyLink is the keyword. And if you are outside of the continental United States, we do want you to join us. And that will be in an email to missinglink@rainmaker.fm. Again, that's missinglink@rainmaker.fm.
Absolutely.
And that's it.
Yeah, it's easy, and there's a ton of resources people are sharing. I'm so happy that we have not only hit a nerve with our discussion of Pulse, but I also, but the fact that our community is adding such great value of resources, et cetera, in there. So let's go ahead and talk about this episode, though, Micah, because I know I was alluding to it. I didn't want to share who we were going to have on. But a couple of weeks ago, I reached out to Katie Carroll, social media editor on the LinkedIn Pulse team, and I asked her to get on the show, and guess what? She said yes.
I know.
I am so excited to have Katie on our show today, Micah.
So exciting, I know.
It is amazing to me. She is someone who is actually working with the editorial teams, approving content that gets into those different channels, assigning them the ones that they think that they should go there. She is actively involved in the content that is being published through the Pulse Network, and we have her on the show.
That's awesome.
So when we come back from the break, we're going to interview Katie and get the behind-the-scenes information that you won't find anyplace else but here on The Missing Link. Are we at break finally, Micah? Are we off the air now? Good. Okay.
I think we are.
Okay, good. Well, while we're letting the break play, let me tell you about my friend Dan. So Dan reached out to me. He is working on a new site. And he was asking me about, you know, hey, you know, should I build this on WordPress? What should I do? It's such a pain, blah, blah, blah. And I said, Dan, what you need to do is you need to go to rainmakerplatform.com and just sign up and get a free Rainmaker site for 14 days.
Yeah.
Isn't that easy? And he did.
Yeah.
And he did that. And you know what happened? He built this awesome site with tons of features in like 2 hours. Done. I mean, it wasn't even, with the design, with the landing pages already there, with the email integration to his MailChimp thing. It was that easy, Micah.
Good for him. That's awesome. I'm glad.
Well, you know, I wish more people, you know, would hear that story because quite frankly, I think they would probably go ahead and do it, you know?
So, I think they would. I know I did.
Yeah. And where do you go to do that, Micah?
RainmakerPlatform.com, and you get free 14 days just to try it out, see if you like it.
Well, let's not share that too loud because, God forbid, all of our audience run over there and do it real quick. Oh, wait a minute.
It's like a super secret group.
Are we still recording? Damn it.
Oh, Sean.
Okay.
Share it now.
I know. You know, folks, I'm dead serious. I hope you give RainmakerPlatform.com a try because it is a powerful platform to get it out there. And just like my friend Dan, who really did call me up and really did put a site together in 2 hours and really was blown away with all the powerful features, please go ahead and take a moment to go to RainmakerPlatform.com. Try that 14-day trial out. Get your content marketing turbocharged with easy-to-use tools, powerful features, and never having to worry about the hassle of getting that online marketing presence up and running. Sound like a plan, Micah?
I love it. Yes, RainmakerPlatform.com.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. This is Sean Jackson, and as promised, we have a very, very special guest. Katie Carroll is the social media editor for LinkedIn Pulse. Katie, welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be here.
We are so excited. So inform our audience a little bit about exactly what you do over there at LinkedIn Pulse.
So I'm a member of the editorial team. We basically are in charge of making sure that we surface amazing content for our members. On top of that, I oversee the LinkedIn Pulse social media channels and have my hand in a bunch of different projects.
Holy cow. So you're the lady that we need to talk to because you're a writer, which is most of our audience are writers or content marketers, right? And doing social media things. So I think you are perfect for us to talk to. All right. So, Katie, why LinkedIn Pulse for content marketing? Why should I even be doing anything over there as a marketer in the Pulse Network?
Well, I think the best thing about LinkedIn, or one of the best things about it certainly, is just that it's a place that where people already are. You know, one of the biggest struggles for any writer is finding an audience for your content. And the wonderful thing about LinkedIn is that the audience is already there and they're really hungry for this content. So, you know, to me, you are exposing your writing to new audiences, to very engaged audiences, and to, you know, professionals who really want to learn more.
So do you have any of the stats on Pulse right now? Because I've heard it's something like 100,000 new posts a week or something like that on the Pulse Network.
130,000 posts a week.
Holy cow.
Wow.
And you surpassed Twitter as far as number of members, right? You're about 380 million members, I believe, of the LinkedIn network.
Last I heard it was about 360, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's higher now.
Yeah. You guys keep on growing. And certainly, let me get this straight. You've got an audience that is there. You've got people that are publishing aggressively, right? And you got people that are spending time on it. Is that pretty much the rationale for being on Pulse?
Yep.
Okay, good. Otherwise, awesome. The past several episodes would have really not gone as well. All right, so let's go through this. So I take the time to write. And in our past couple of episodes, we've been talking about some structural, mechanical things about writing, strong images, strong headlines, using tags, making sure that it is readable for the audience, that it is engaging. So we got the structural things down. But here's something that I know a lot of our audience wants to know about. If they go in and they start publishing into the Pulse Network, how do they get traffic to those posts that they're doing? Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's great that it's easy to write towards, but, you know, hey, we want people to look at this stuff too, right, Katie?
Right.
Definitely. No, I think truthfully it all boils down to the content. You know, really the key to success is writing things that will start conversations, that will encourage engagement. So sort of the logistics of it, as soon as you publish a post, it goes out to your network. They'll get notified. They'll see it in their newsfeed that you've published this post. And then, you know, if you're writing content that encourages conversation, anytime someone comments, likes, or shares the post, their network will see it, and on and on. So you end up getting this really great viral effect on your content. So that, I think, is sort of just your basic, you know, fundamental way to get more traction to your posts, is just making sure that it's something that people really would want to share on the site. The second thing, you know, is if you have external social channels, definitely share it there as well. You know, anyone, you know, people who are following you on other channels certainly want to read what you're writing. And it's always good, I think, to spread this stuff as far and wide as you can. And then, you know, third, within the site's mechanics, you can be picked up and put into a channel based on topic. So, you know, for leadership and management, for example, or technology, all these different channels, if your post ends up in one of those, then the people who are following those channels will get to see your content as well. So, you know, that there are a couple ways that that can happen. One, essentially, we have an algorithm that is scouring content, trying to see what's resonating on the site. And then from there, the editorial team can go ahead and put it in a channel. So those are sort of your options in terms of getting traction on your post.
So it sounds like there's an algorithmic aspect to getting into a channel and also an editorial aspect to getting into a channel.
Yes. So we're, you know, we're combination algorithm and editor. And, you know, one way, and this is, I think, a tip that's definitely worth mentioning, the one way to get your post in front of the editorial team is if you tweet it to us, if you include the link, a short phrase about your post, and a tip at LinkedIn Pulse, and that can make sure to get our attention.
Tip at LinkedIn Pulse. Gotcha.
Got it.
There. Well, now I feel good. Okay. Interview's over. Just kidding.
So what if, you know, most of our listeners have other sites. What would you recommend for content duplication and putting the articles that I've already published and that are doing well on their main sites and putting them onto LinkedIn?
You know, we see a lot of that and it works great. I think that the real key is that you're going to have different audiences on both sites. So, you know, LinkedIn can be a really great discovery tool for people who maybe didn't see it on your first site, but would absolutely be the right audience for that content. So I think cross-posting it is completely fine. The one thing that we do like to say, though, is, you know, make sure to post the full post. People feel duped sometimes when you post, you know, like a stump post and have some link backs. You know, they want something that they feel like they can click on it and they're going to get value right there. And then also posting the full post encourages people to share and engage with that content. So that's sort of my only caveat. But I would definitely, you know, if you have stuff that makes sense on LinkedIn that was written somewhere else, go ahead and use it.
All right. So I am following your advice. I'm putting my content, either original content or I'm putting something from my current blog site, let's say, putting it out there. I'm engaging. I alert the editors at via Twitter. Hey, I got something I think that you guys may be interested in this channel. I did all of this. But how much self-promotion am I allowed on LinkedIn? Because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm getting my content out there. I'm contributing to your network. But, you know, I'm going to take a little bit of time myself and, you know, kind of sit out there and kind of promote these posts on my updates, let's say, and really kind of work the network, if you will, to get people to read this. Is there any, like, penalty if I'm a little bit too obnoxious? I mean, talk to me a little bit about self-promotion on LinkedIn because, you know, I want to build up my authority, if you will, right? But is LinkedIn going to, you know, throw me out if I'm seeming a little bit too self-promoting?
Well, no one's going to throw you out. So that's the good thing. I definitely would be mindful of the experience of the people who are following you and who are connected with you. You know, one of the things that we tell people is to focus on building up a following. So now, you know, members can follow you because they're reading your content and they want to see more. So that is a really strong indication that basically you're saying something that people want to hear more of. And so, you know, if you focus on growing that following, that basically means that, you know, anyone who's following you will see the posts you write. So the bigger your following, the more people who are going to see those posts right from the get-go. And, you know, if you are too promotional, if you're, you know, kind of bombarding people with too many updates, things like that, you know, that's not the best experience for your followers. And I think people end up starting to sort of tune you out. So, you know, I would really just think about, you know, what's going to be providing value to the people who are following me. And, you know, what do they want to learn more of? You know, what's my unique expertise, unique angle, that's going to, you know, make them better professionals, which is ultimately, sort of the goal of content on LinkedIn in general.
You know, we talk a lot about that, is add value to the network by adding value to your followers. But it does bring up another question, because, you know, there's kind of two sides of coin since you bring up the, you know, your connection count, if you will. You know, in my case, I'm fairly selective about who I connect with, right? I have a fairly strong connections with some people that I consider very important. And then yet I know of friends of mine who have like 6,000 plus connections, right? And so it was occurring to me today as I was thinking about this, I said, you know, if you're going to be active in LinkedIn, right, then, and you're really going to start publishing into the Pulse Network, doesn't it make sense to really be fairly aggressive in both the connections you accept and the connections that you go and find? Or should you be a little bit more, you know, like me, a little bit less promiscuous with your connection building? What do you think, Katie?
So everyone does have sort of a different philosophy on that. And I think it does depend to some extent what you are using LinkedIn for. But the beauty of it is with long form publishing, now you can follow somebody. And so, you know, you don't really have to worry as much anymore about, you know, accepting every single connection request that you get, because somebody who's reading your post can just hit follow. And that's a one directional, action. So you don't have to connect.
I just saw that.
Yeah, but it's great, because then, you know, they'll see your content the same way a connection will. So, and that includes short form updates and any other activity you do on the site.
Let me parrot that back, because that's an important point you made, is because of that follow feature in the LinkedIn Pulse Network. So I can follow a person without necessarily having to connect with that person. As a writer, the more followers to my posts that I get, the more that they're going to see the new things that I am publishing. Is that correct?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Wow. Now that really does change that conversation, because before I could see it easily like, well, you know, hey, I got to get all these connections. But now with this follower feature, it's a great way of building that relationship, building that community without having to connect with everybody at the same time. Love it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I think that's been, you know, I think it's a crucial element to being successful with content. And, you know, it really does kind of change sort of the dynamics of what you want to do with the site and how you're going to get your content out there.
Now, talking about, you know, a lot of followers or whatnot, what is an influencer on LinkedIn? And then how would we become an influencer on LinkedIn?
So influencers is an invite-only network right now. It's basically a compilation of some of the top leaders in business in various industries. You know, it is something that we have a panel internally where we will vet, go through potential candidates for this. You know, right now we're pretty closed. It's kind of tough to get into, but really it's about trying to find the best mix of professionals and industries for our members. So we're trying to ensure that, you know, the content that they're creating and that the group of people that we have in the influencer program is a good reflection of our member base.
So, Katie, we're coming to kind of the end of this, but kind of a couple of more questions, if you don't mind. First off, one of the things I really like about the posting feature is the analytics that you guys provide. I think it's very simple, comprehensive enough. What are some of the things that you as a writer really look for in your analytics through what LinkedIn provides?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, I'm sure you've taken a look at the new tool that came out not too long ago that gives you more information on analytics in terms of who's actually engaging with your posts. Mm-hmm. To me, that's really important. You can see, you know, the industries of people engaging with you, the region, seniority level, things like that. And so I think, you know, everyone who's writing has a different goal for what they're trying to accomplish by writing. And so, you know, for a lot of folks, that's, you know, trying to make sure that they're hitting people in a particular industry, or if they're writing on, you know, if they're a tech writer, for example, they want to make sure that the people who are reading their posts are also in technology. And also interested in those fields. So to me, being able to look at that information is really important. And I think, you know, one thing that I like to tell people all the time, because I think it's really true, you know, the page view count or some of those metrics are much less important than who's reading it and who's engaging. So, you know, looking at whether people are commenting on your post, whether they're sharing your post, and looking to see really who is actually the one taking those actions, I think ultimately gives you a much richer story about how your content is doing.
So what is the question that I didn't ask you that you would really want to talk about? Because I want to make sure I have, you know, again, we thank you so much for your time, but I really want to make sure that we cover the things that you think are important for our audience, because our content marketers out there across many different industries, all wanting to market aggressively on LinkedIn. What is something that you would want to share with them that we haven't already discussed?
That is a really good question. I think the main thing I want to get across is, other than, you know, really focus on creating engaging, compelling content, which is always number one. I would say write to your industry. You know, we see a lot of, you know, phenomenal career advice on LinkedIn that's sort of meant for the general professional who is at various stages in their career. The tough thing about that is that it's very hard to stand out when you're writing that kind of content just because there's so much of it. But, you know, I think where you can really get value on LinkedIn is by writing to a particular industry, because, you know, we are able to put that content in front of those people who are going to get the most value out of it. And I think ultimately the responses you're going to get, the qualitative responses, are going to be really valuable to you. So I would say, you know, share those unique expertise that you have about your industry, your field, your profession, you know, and focus on that, because I think that's going to be a way to get really meaningful success.
Katie, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to be with us today. I loved what you had to share. We are so excited to talk about the LinkedIn Pulse Network. Great job you guys are doing over there, by the way.
Yeah.
So I know that our audience will be very interested in this, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see a small little spike in that 130,000 postings a week.
Katie, this is excellent, Katie.
That's perfect for us. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Micah. Can you believe that?
I was so blown away. Oh my goodness.
I told you.
That was excellent. Yeah.
It was fun. I mean, the tips that she came out there with about, you know, what does it take to get into those channels? That alone, I was like, holy cow. Yeah, go do your homework, find the editorial team members, and tweet to them. They're just like any other human beings. They want good content. And so that was a huge tip out of it. I really liked about how she focused on quality writing. You know, a copy blogger, we talk about that all the time, about quality writing, adding value to the network. You know, there's no, this is the thing I kind of get from this, Micah. There's really not a, you know, like secret magic pill that you can take.
Exactly. It's great writing and, you know, producing great content on their site.
It's hard work. It's just work is what it comes down to. You know, it's not some.
It is, and it's consistent work too.
Yes, consistent work. I would agree with that. So again, I was very, very happy with it. So Mike, we're coming to the end of our three-part series on publishing on LinkedIn. I think this has been a phenomenal series based on discussions that we've had over in that fantastic super secret group that we have. So
I know.
I think the next episode I am going to get one of our experts about how to build traffic to your LinkedIn post. What do you think, Micah?
I am excited about that.
Yeah. I think we're going to have, you know what? Sonia Simone.
I love Sonia Simone.
The pink-haired lady herself will be on our next episode to specifically talk about how to drive traffic to all those quality posts that you've been putting into the LinkedIn network.
Perfect. And she knows, you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, yeah.
She's the ex. Yeah.
She's forgotten more than I'll ever know about it. So, yeah, I got it.
Right. She knows her stuff, man.
That's right. So stay tuned for the next episode where we talk about all of the ways to build traffic to the LinkedIn Pulse Network that you've been publishing towards. Everyone, I hope you've enjoyed our series and that you have a great week, and we will catch you next time on the next episode of The Missing Link.
Thank you all.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on Rainmaker.fm.